The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
So people are still fuming about the Beacon. Brendan, people are fuming, and rightly so. Regardless of the mistakes of the HSE, the Beacon should have jabbed patients. End of story. That's Dee in Dublin. Dee, I 100% agree with you. And I'm not saying there was anything right about what the Beacon did, or that it wasn't abuse and privilege and entitlement and everything else. But I'm just saying there can be more than one issue at a time. There are texts of rubbish, Brendan. This is about privilege. Yeah, I said it was about privilege. There is one more here I want to read out, right? Echoing the message from Cara Savine, also in Dingle, quiet influx to holiday homes is underway again. Also, small numbers of overseas tourists. I find that bizarre. There's no control possible here if people do not observe guidelines. Those of us observing guidelines and at risk in service jobs are left completely exposed. And that's from MC in Kerry. Now, there was a fantastic documentary started on TG Cahir on Thursday, and it's a two-parter. It's ostensibly a nature programme, but bear with me because there is a lot more to it than that. Good morning, Darragh O'Murricu.
Good morning, Brendan.
And Darragh, I feel they sent you off to do a nice little programme on how wildlife reacted to the pandemic, and that you kind of ended up producing a radical manifesto questioning how we live our lives. So if we start with the nature bit, you travelled around in lockdown, and I suppose what you saw, which is something a lot of us would have noticed, is that nature reasserted itself in ways?
Yes. How far we go with that is questionable. Like the answers won't really come to us until another few years. It certainly got a breather in most places, and in a lot of places, it was able to flourish because of the lockdown and the lack of visitors and tourists and stuff like that.
And what things did we see that you wouldn't have seen before?
So, for example, on the Blasket Islands, there would have been the seals would have been on the beach there well into June. Whereas before they would have left come Easter time with the coming of the boats and the tourists. In Mulrani, wild Irish goats to come down off the mountains during the winter, and they graze on the grass down the lowlands. They would have hightailed it back up the mountains again by the time the tourists would have come around in May. But this year they were hanging about, and they were quite bulgy, just having a crack around the hotel grounds and doing all that sort of stuff. So it was beautiful to see them. They're amazing animals.
It's extraordinary stuff to see them playing around the village.
Yeah. So the numerous examples around the country of isolated, examples of where animals or nature benefited from the quiet times.
And Blarney Castle, I see, has been taken over by crows and rooks and that.
Yeah, about time. it was nice because it was kind of like an invasion, taking it over for themselves again. But like rooks aren't a great indicator of health of an ecosystem because they follow humans wherever we go, and they kind of intensive agriculture kind of benefits them a bit. So they're not a great indicator of nature blossoming. They do also benefit from the lack of predators, like the bigger
and birds. We come to that in a sec.
But it's nice to see.
Yeah. So then, I suppose, people will have seen things in their own lives too, like that at a particular point, like the seagulls, are a bugbear for people every year in Dublin and other coastal places, but Grafton Street, the seagulls were owning it there, and of course we saw that footage that went viral of a fox around Grafton Street. And I've seen lots of foxes around in the middle of the day in places where you wouldn't expect to see them. And like you're saying about the rooks, that's not a great sign, really.
Yeah, or we shouldn't take it as a great sign. Like, I mean, it could mean a lot of things, but yeah, certainly with the foxes, like, you know, they changed their habits to go around at night time when we were asleep, so they could do their thing around, especially in Dublin. Like, you know, they've been there for a long time. I knew them from going to college in the 90s in Dublin. But what happened was significant during the lockdown was they actually came out during the day, which is the change for them. It's amazing how animals adapt to the conditions that are presented to them. So that's what the foxes did. But again, maybe it's not a great indication that, you know, that the foxes are coming into our towns and cities. It might be an indicator that we're decimating their habitat, you know, the wild natural places that they would normally make their bed in, raise their young, catch their food, that all those places are slowly being, you know, eroded away, and they're coming now into the cities, like a lot of humans. You know, we generally, you know, a couple of hundred years ago all lived out in the countryside, and we're all now congregating in the cities. So maybe they're just following us.
Yeah. And as you said there is something missing in all of this, and that is kind of, I suppose, the apex of the pyramid, isn't it? And this always divides people. But tell us what we need to do to fix the balance.
Okay, well, I'm reluctant to get sucked into that and get labelled as another John Gormley, or sorry, Eamon Ryan. So I'm going to be careful there. Look, it was suggested in the programme to bring back the wolves. I didn't make that suggestion. It's a novel idea. It's quite out there, and it would be a lovely idea as something to aim for. Of course, we're not ready for it now. In both in terms of infrastructure and mindsets as well. So those two things have to change.
Yeah, okay. So, actually, you know what? Just so you don't bear the brunt of it, I have a clip here from the show, and this is Killian McLaughlin from Wild Ireland.
When I proposed bringing these animals back, you can imagine I was met with a lot of objection and a lot of, I suppose, panic or hysteria that these animals are going to be roaming the countryside eating farmers' sheep. That has to go. We have to, you know, look at what the wolf really is. You know, they're an essential part of the ecosystem. Without them, everything in the pyramid below them goes out of balance and implodes. If we had wolves, for example, in Ireland, the fox population would be kept at a perfect check, at a perfect number. And animals like curlews and things that are ground nesting birds actually benefit from these big predators.
And Killian, what people might have found even more alarming there, which is not in that clip, is that there would be an alternative to wolves, and that would be that we would have big cats in Ireland.
Yes, and they, you know, that their scientists are almost sure that they would have been here, back 1,000 years ago or so. And we're not talking about, like, tigers and lions. So we're talking about wild cats. So something like the lynx. And again, like, for some people, that might put the fear of death into them, you know, that they were like, oh my God, there's a wild animal. But really, the amount of incidences of them attacking humans would be minimal. And there are examples across Europe where these wild animals, wolves and lynxes, have been returned, and they have put schemes in place to allow them to coexist with farming. So it is possible. On the other hand, like, you know, apart from the fear factor, there is something amazing and life-affirming about meeting one of these wild animals. I mean, the closest I got to it was meeting a red deer stag in the middle of nowhere in the Killarney National Park. And we both came face to face, and it was one of those moments. It's like, oh my God, what is this? What's going to happen? And I think he was thinking the same. So to have those kind of experiences are, you know, they really they make us, you know, feel like we're alive again, and there are ways of bringing them out, and there's certainly, you know, lots of benefits. So Killian mentioned the wildlife corridors, you know, to link the different national parks together.
Yeah, explain that as well. I suppose the theory behind it is that we should have wilderness areas as well, that where mankind just stays out of it, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, there's a case for having a bit of land set aside like that. But I prefer to think that we should be living in and with nature, apart, and not apart from nature. So there's a huge distinction about, like, you know, you know, having all these cordoned off areas and boxing them off and fencing them off, and that's nature for you. And then we'll exist over here destroying the earth whatever way we can. You know, it doesn't, that doesn't work. We need to live in and with nature. So we need to bring nature into every part of the country. That means towns and cities as well. And it benefits us in more ways than we actually could imagine. Like, studies have been done worldwide about the, you know, how mental health benefits come from being in nature, how patients recover quicker if they see greenery from their, you know, bedside window. You know, that, you know, blood pressure, you know, anxiety, everything across the board benefits us if we have a bit of nature around us. And also, you know, the hidden things that we can't see is benefit provides us with air, clean water, flood control, weather control, you know, biodiversity and soil fertility, which is, you know, where our food comes from. So, you know, a lot of, we sometimes miss those finer points that, you know, where does the minerals and the nutrients and all the magic ingredients that create food comes from? That comes from nature. So, you know, it's important to take those into account as well.
Yeah,
so,
and of course, we all did become, big nature lovers again over the course of the last year. But I suppose the question you're posing is that, will this continue after the lockdowns and stuff are over? Like, that, you kind of hope it might be a moment. You know, people talk about the Great Reset, that this might reset things a little bit, people's attitudes.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that it will. And like, you know, it was amazing to see the amount of interaction people had with nature during the lockdown. And, you know, that can be measured through the amount of reports or data people were bringing into the National Biodiversity Data Centre. They were inundated with reports of wildlife. And just anecdotally, everyone was doing it. You know, everyone was out in their 2 or 5 kilometres walking the parks. So, you know, the programme initially started with how nature benefited from the lockdown, but then it kind of went into the investigating how we benefited from nature during the lockdown. And then I posed the question, well, if it took the lockdown for us to realize or make that reconnection with nature or build a relationship with it, you know, what are we at if it took the lockdown to do that for us? And,
yeah,
and some, you know, so that might be a cause of concern is why did it take something like that for us to wake up to it?
But yeah, because I suppose you kind of had your awakening already, because it's been kind of a long, strange trip for you to get to the point where you're at now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, yeah. So I grew up in the suburbs in Dublin and now I've ended up in the middle of a field in West Kerry. So it's life just does those things to you when you're open to it. So,
And via Silicon Valley, yeah?
Yes, via Silicon Valley and the high life and the fast car, the BMW and the pension plan and all that.
Really,
car.
Yeah? Yeah. And what was your awakening moment, or when did you realise it wasn't for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I always had that kind of thing instilled in me from my parents, like, you know, they're all from country backgrounds. So, but I suppose in San Francisco, I kind of made it. This was it. I had reached the pinnacle. I was working at, you know, the cutting edge of technology, and life didn't really give me any satisfaction or there was no meaning to it. So it felt a bit empty. And I was going, well, yeah, there must be more to life than this. So I packed it all in and headed around the world and you know, went about following my passion, which was mountaineering. So I became a mountaineering instructor and ended up, you know, guiding people in the mountain ranges around the world. And, you know, I've moved on from that now to what I'm doing now.
Okay, excellent. And listen, Derek, it's a great documentary. It's called Cuach Don Na Dúir, The Power of Nature. And so the second part will be on TG Cathair on Thursday night at 9:30. And is that right?
Wednesday night,
I beg your pardon. Wednesday night at 9:30. And like, it is full of so many wise, passionate people as well. You interview some fantastic people in it. Thanks a million, Derek O'Murcu. And that's Cuach Don Na Dúir, and it's Wednesday night, 9:30 on TG Cathair.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.